Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Can't forget about that. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your texts. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. I was watching The Boss Man from Fall to Ireland on the news last night. Paul Kelly, isn't that his name? Yeah. It's going to be very difficult for hotels and B&Bs and guest houses and the whole hospitality stroke tourism industry. And the list of things they have to do in the new normal seem nearly impossible. There's a number of letters to the Irish Times about it today. A. Dawn McCall from Sunday's Well in Cork says, further to new rules for holidays in Ireland under COVID-19, no buffets, mini bars or close dancing. We're just short of peanuts to be served individually to the customer. One peanut at a time, says Adon. And Cal Hyland was on as well. No buffets, mini bars or close dancing. Next thing, like the parish priest of my youth, Gardaí will be baiting the hedges, looking for couples indulging in sinful practices. Cal Hyland. That was the thing that raised the smile for me, or smirk. Social distancing while dancing. Social distancing while dancing. Now, that's not going to be easy and it's not going to be enjoyable. And there isn't going to be any crack there. And it brought me back to years and years and years ago when, you know, I was DJing around the place and I used to do a thing called the No Name Club. I think it's still going. A brilliant youth organisation around the country. And the whole basis of it was that there was no alcohol. So actually got a mention last week when we were talking to Maria Walsh, the MEP, because she took part in the... they used to have an award ceremony every year and she was one of the representatives back in the day. Anyway, they used to run discos as well, and me as a young DJ used to do the local No Name Club. Anyway, I'm not going to name where it was, but in a particular establishment, the lady, it was a family-run business, and the lady who ran it didn't like the idea of slow dancing. That's the best way to put it. She didn't like the idea of slow dancing. And she used to make me announce every time that during the slow dances, this is the truth now, I'm not making this up, you couldn't make it up. She used to make me announce that there had to be at least 9 inches between couples when they were dancing during a slow dance. And I had to do it, and I did it reluctantly because it was her place and she was the boss. And then to make sure, and again, I'm not making this up, she used to go around with a ruler during the slow dances to make sure her guidelines were being followed by the teenagers dancing to Romeo and Juliet by Dire Straits, or Endless Love by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad by Meatloaf. And the list goes on. You know the ones anyway. You know the ones that were favourites in slow sets all those years ago. So when I was listening last night and I heard social distancing dancing, I was right back there, right back making that announcement. And just to let you know that during the slow sets, there has to be at least 9 inches between couples. Thank you very much. And they'd all look up at me in disbelief. And I'd sort of, you know, do the eye roll and go, well, it's not my idea. It's not my idea. Anyway, there you go. So good luck to the hospitality and the tourism industry in this country. We're going to get 2 months out of it. Very few people are going to be travelling abroad. That's the sense I get. There's going to be a lot of staycationing. You will be pleasantly surprised. If you were one of those people who've constantly flew off to enjoy your holidays, you would be pleasantly surprised about what we have on offer in this country. This is an amazing little country. And if you get the weather, that's a bonus. But there's so much to do now and so much beauty all along the coastline and in the Midlands as well, up and down the Shannon and all over the place. We're very lucky to live in this little country. So that's that. But it is a country with some strange names. We had Patricia and Rebecca on yesterday on the All-Ireland quiz. More about that in a moment. But Patricia was representing County Cavan, and she was from a place called Farta. Now, I'd never heard of Farta before. F-A-R-T-A-G-H. And I asked Patricia, did she know the origins of the name? And she didn't. But we got a number of texts afterwards, and it comes from... a place of graves. So F-E-A-R-T. So it would have been Farty, and that would have been a place of graves, and that had been changed into Farta, and it's a townsland. And then Bilbo. What's the origins of Bilbo? Again, I asked Rebecca, did you know the origins of Bilbo in County Carlo, wasn't it? And she said, no, I don't. Well, we got a text just when the show was finishing. Bilbo takes his name from Spanish town of same name from English soldier who fought in a Napoleonic war and came to live in that Carlo mining village and gave that small area of Carlo the name Bilboa. That's one theory. I was on a website called loganum.ie, and their theory is that it's an anglicisation of Bail Ohabo. So it would be, you know, the town of the cow, would it? So there you go, I don't know. But it's I'm fascinated by place names. And I was listening to Liveline there and Slavery Road. And John Newton, isn't that odd? Because John Newton got a mention on the show on Friday because we were speaking to Judy Collins. And Judy Collins has done an amazing version of Amazing Grace. She recorded way back in 1967. But they have re-recorded it now with the Virtual Global Choir. So she put out a call to people all over the world who could sing, and they got hundreds, thousands of people singing along, doing backing vocals to Amazing Grace, and they've put together this amazing version of it. Sorry to use the word amazing, describing Amazing Grace. But she mentioned John Newton and the fact that he used to transport slaves, and he had an epiphany, and Amazing Grace came out of that epiphany. So isn't that odd that his name came up twice within a week? Speaking of hymns and that sort of thing, the Dalai Lama has recorded an album which will be released on his 85th birthday, which is the 26th of June. But there's a sort of a lead single. There's a sort of a single released now, available now, from the Dalai Lama, aged 84 and a good bit. And what he has done is he has got Buddhist chants and they've put them to music. And the one that's available now is called Compassion. And this is a little clip from it. The Dalai Lama and Compassion. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 About 3 minutes and 56 seconds long. That's just half a minute of it. But I played it at home this morning and I found myself going off into a trance-like state. It's one of the most popular mantras in the Buddhist tradition. The first word, Om, is a sacred syllable in various Indian religions. The word Mani means jewel or bead, and Padma is the lotus flower, and the final Hum at the end represents spirit of enlightenment. And in Tibetan Buddhism, that would be the Dalai Lama, this is the most ubiquitous mantra, says Wikipedia, and the most popular form of religious practice performed by laypersons and monastics alike. It's also an ever-present feature of the landscape, commonly carved onto rocks known as Mani stones. And they're painted on the sides of hills, or else it's written on prayer flag sand and prayer wheels. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 We had Christy Moore on a few weeks ago, and I was chatting to him off air, arranging the whole thing, and he tells some great stories about the Dalai Lama because he met him up in Derry and he sang for him all the way up in Derry. And I'm not even going to attempt to tell the story because it's Christy Moore's story, but the next time he's on, remind me to ask him about the Dalai Lama. It's a great story. And while we're on Christy Moore, you may have seen that on the 26th of June, the final Friday in June, there's a Comic Relief fundraising event on RTÉ Television, hosted by Jennifer Zamparelli, Deirdre O'Kane and others. And what they've done, I don't know how this happened, but it's going to be brilliant. They took Christy's recording on his Nokia phone of The Voyage from the show that day, and Jam Media, who are one of our biggest animation companies, are animating it. So they're doing a lovely, beautiful, I've seen some of the frames from it. They're doing a beautiful animation based on Christie's performance on the 20-year-old Nokia on the radio that day. And it's going to be shown for the first time, world exclusive, on that night. So that's something to look forward to. And we'll have to talk to Christie before that. And he might tell you the story about the Dalai Lama. From the Dalai Lama to Elton John. We had Dr. Neve Lynch on a few weeks ago, and she was looking for a rooster because Mr. Weasley, her rooster, had died sometime during April. And she found one through the good people in, I can never remember the name of the organisation, but I'll get it for you. Hill is involved in it. She found a rooster that she named Elton John, and it was in Kildare, and we got a courier to bring it down. And now Elton John is down there in Cork with Dr. Neve Lynch and the hens. And she's been sending us the odd email just to keep us posted on the progress. And she says, "Dear Ryan team, I wanted to give you one last update about Elton John. I used to have chats with Mr. Weasley and document them on his Facebook page. So far, so bonkers. To my delight, I have found that Elton enjoys a bit of a chinwag as well. So here is our most recent conversation. As you will see, things are going well. And I'm so grateful to you all for helping to get him to Cork. So, this is the conversation between Neve and Elton John, the rooster. So how was your week been, Elton? Yeah, good. Just have to get myself ready now. Ready for what? The next place. What do you mean, the next place, Elton? Well, it's been lovely here and all. You have a great bunch of hens, gorgeous ladies, but I have to move on. Move on? This place is nice. Yeah, the last place was nice. The streets, not so nice, but I managed. I'll manage the next place, I'm sure. We'll just have to wait and see. What are you talking about, Elton? I've been on the move as long as I can remember, Neve. I don't know where I'll be going next. You people get to decide that. I just have to go along with it. No choice in the matter. I'm used to it now, going from place to place to place. Oh, Elton, I'm sorry if it wasn't made clear to you before. This is the last place you'll be moving to. No more journeys. You mean I'm staying here? In this garden? With these hens? Forever? Yes. I can't believe it. What is this place? What is it called? It's called home, Elton. Welcome home. That's Neve. So thanks again to the team for getting this little boy lost to his home in Cork. He has brought us so much joy to me and the family during a strange and stressful time for us, and no doubt countless others. And that's Neve, and she likes to call herself Dr. Doolittle now. So thanks for that, Neve, and good luck to Elton John. The rooster, that is. Bam, bam. And today on the All-Ireland quiz, Derry take on Kilkenny. It is Derry versus Kilkenny. If you're in Kilkenny and you want to take part, step up to the plate and fly the county flag. 1850 715 900. 1850 715 900. If you're in Derry, you can't call us on that number, so you'll have to email us, ray@rte.ie. So people from Derry, if you want to take part in the quiz, ray@rte.ie. There you go. Kilkenny 1850 715 900. We'll have two people on after 4 o'clock representing their counties. Now, let's see what you're saying on 51551. At our youth club, the nuns would put a book between us to keep us apart, Matty in West Clare. And I'm in stitches here. I was a hostess in the No Name Club in the Talbot Hotel in Wexford Town. I can confirm the dance floor was patrolled during the slow set there too, says Patty. It was called the No Nookie Club at the edge of the Curra. Smiley face, that's Anya. Yeah, you were there, Anya. So you can confirm that I'm telling the truth. I hear you on this lovely country, however. The prices have shot up and it's hard to get value for a family of four. Looks like the back garden this year. And if, when we get anywhere, things will be limited, says Dean Beaumont. I suppose that the demand has gone up and there's a limited supply, so you know the rules of economics. Anne says, just bring me back to when I was in boarding school in Dungarvan in the 1970s and we used to be brought by the nuns to the boys' college for hops. Oh, you know, you're talking hops. A nun and a priest would stand at each door and we were told to stay at arm's length away from the boys during the slow sets. Those were the days, happy memories. And how about these names, place names? Dismal Seepage, North Carolina. Lower Longbottom in Florida, as well as Intercourse, Pennsylvania. They're all for real, says Jackie Durfee in Buffalo, New York. And Buffalo is from the original French beau fleuve, not from the American buffalo. Thanks for that. And regarding place names, there's a place in County Limerick called Bilbo also. That's Niall Collins TD. Thanks for that, Niall. I think there's three or four of them around the country. Wait till I just see now. I'll just take out my piece of research there. Yeah, there's one listed in, there's two listed actually, one in Limerick near Doon. Used to be discos down in Doon as well. There was no stipulation that you had to stay 9 inches apart during the slow sets down in Doon. And there's one in Leash and there's one in Carlow. So there's a number of Bilbos around the country. 51551 ray@rte.ie and good afternoon.
Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Derry and Kilkenny go head-to-head in the All-Ireland quiz today. So we're looking for representatives from both counties. So if you live in or born in either Derry or Kilkenny, from Kilkenny, you can ring us 1850-715-900 because of telecommunications issues. You can't ring us from Derry, but you can email us at ray@rte.ie. So we're looking for two people to take part in our quiz after 4 o'clock. Derry and Kilkenny, your county is calling. Now, our next guest has over 500,000 followers on TikTok with nearly 9 million likes for her videos about raising tadpoles from frog spawn. Well, how else would you raise tadpoles? Hannah McSorley never dreamed that she would become the internet sensation that she has become, or become known as Tadpole Girl. She joins us now from her home in Tyrone. How are you doing, Hannah?
Good, how are you, Ray?
Good to talk to you. I watched your videos on TikTok this morning. And they are very enjoyable and there's something calming about them. Has anybody else said that to you?
Yeah, my mum, even myself, I find them very calming and peaceful to watch.
Yeah. How did it all start, Hannah?
Well, I live in the countryside and with it being lockdown, I've had a lot more time to enjoy what's around me.
Yeah.
I took my younger brother out for a walk and I just happened to notice it in the field, and it probably wouldn't have been the most natural place for it and probably wouldn't have survived. So I took it home in a jar and watched it grow ever since.
Yeah, like this is something that we used to do as children. We're not allowed to do it anymore down in the Republic of Ireland, but things are different up in Northern Ireland, are they?
Yes, I don't think it's protected up here, but I'm certainly looking after it very well.
You are. And the sort of fantastic thing is that you've managed to count the number of tadpoles you have, and you've estimated that you have
37,927.
37,927. You've had a few fatalities, have you?
Three so far.
Three, right. And you were able to name those fatalities. You haven't got names for all 37,927.
Well, my followers have named many thousands of them.
Have they? Yes. So you just started posting these little videos up on TikTok. And when did you realise that something was happening, that people were paying attention, that people had...
Well, it was quite gradual from the start. It just grew and grew and grew. But it was much more popular than my baking videos, so I thought I was doing something right.
Right, okay. What day are you on now?
Day 78.
Okay. You see, out in the wild, what sort of things happen naturally to frog spawn and tadpoles and little frogs?
Well, the majority of them dry up or get eaten by birds and other amphibians, unfortunately.
Right. So you have, are you on your third splash pool, or how many pools have you had?
I'm on my fourth pool now.
Your fourth pool now. What happened to one, two and three?
Well, they deflated over time and they just didn't hold the water anymore. But the pool I have now, thankfully, holds itself up.
Okay. Have you thought about what happens, you know, because nature takes its course and frogs spawn, grow into tadpoles, and tadpoles grow into frogs, and the likelihood of having 37,000 odd frogs in the back garden. Have you thought about that?
Well, it's probably not a plague of biblical proportions that it sounds like.
Yes, it does.
But I'll be releasing them in different places and different groups all over the place,
right,
to not overwhelm ecosystem.
Okay, so you've planned it out. You've planned it out. It's a joy to watch them, isn't it, as they go from little frog spawn and they begin to sprout their little legs.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm fascinated by them.
Mm. And are you fascinated by all nature, Hannah?
Yes, all nature and animals. I just have such a love for it all.
Mm. You have a little rabbit called Willow.
I sure do.
Willow is pregnant, is she?
Yep, baby's due now this weekend.
Aha. What do you call young rabbits?
kittens.
Do you? Kittens? I saw that and I thought it was a typo. You call them kittens.
Yeah.
And the dog, the family dog, what's his name?
Oscar.
Right. Anything else we need to know about? Any other animals?
I have 5 hens and a new kitten.
Right. What about Oscar and the frogs when they come to maturity?
Well, Oscar's very old, so he probably doesn't have much chase left in him, but they'll be released not in my actual garden, just around the countryside.
Yeah.
So they should be safe from Oscar. Not that he'd go after them anyway.
You've sought advice from wildlife people.
Yes, I had the Northern Ireland Environment Agency on emails there for a while.
Yeah. Will you explain? I'd say a lot of our listeners don't know what TikTok is. Would you explain it to them?
Sure. It's basically a social media platform where users share very short videos, short snappy videos from a few seconds up to a minute long maximum. And it's just videos about anything and everything.
Yeah. And I see that you have a piece of music behind every piece. Is that important?
No, music's not that important. It's a nice bit of background music to go behind my voice.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you choose the music you put there?
I typed in chill music.
Right.
Something to keep it nice and chill.
All right, and it comes up. And you have a lovely voice. Your voiceover is lovely. And then you're saying one thing and then the graphic comes up and it tells you something else. So you get a lot of information across in less than a minute.
Yes, try to get as much through as possible.
Yeah. What's the plan? Not for the frog spawn, you've talked about that, but for you and your future.
Well, I'm hoping to study my A-levels next year, all science-based and some geography. And then I'd love to study veterinary after that in university.
Yeah. We'd a lovely young man on a few weeks ago called Dara McInulty, and he's written a book called The Diary of a Young Naturalist. And I'm going to get a copy of that and send it up to you. I think you'd really...
Brilliant. I'd love to read that.
Yes, I think you'd really enjoy it. I think you'd really enjoy it.
Thank
now,
you.
Over 500,000 followers on TikTok. That's big news. So what does that mean to you?
Well, it doesn't really faze me too much. I don't let it go to my head at all. But I'm just so happy that there's so many people interested in my simple little tadpoles.
Yeah, but is it like, have people been onto you now? Because you have influence now. You know, with 500,000 people watching your videos, you have influence, and people might want you to advertise their products or whatever.
That's true. I try not to do too much promotional stuff because I just like to bring it back to the tadpoles,
yeah.
Nice and simple and easy to watch.
Yeah. Is there a leader? I know their mother. How do you know that's their mother? Arrive back.
Well, I just knew.
You just knew.
She came home and she's not eating them, so who else could it be?
Right. Fair enough. And you, I don't know about frogs, but you've asked your followers to appoint a president.
A president.
Yes. Who's the president of all the tadpoles?
Nugget. Named by my followers.
Right. Okay. And people can go on to, I see Emer MacLeisett, who's a famous writer down here. She's responsible for one of the best-selling books of all time in this country. And she has logged on to TikTok just to watch your videos. So there
I
you
know,
go.
I seen that tweet, I was amazed.
Yeah, and you'll get more and more followers now. So Tadpole Girl, Hannah McSorley, if you go on to...
I'm actually baby frogs.
You're baby frogs, right.
I am not Tadpole Girl. There's somebody else called Tadpole Girl from the USA. I'm actually baby frogs.
Baby frogs, right. So if people want to see your work, it's baby frogs. And as I say, as I said at the outset, there's something very calming about the whole thing. Hannah, lovely talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, mind yourself. Stay safe. Bye now.
Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551, The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Kilkenny, Kilkenny, Kilkenny. They're telling me upstairs that we don't have a representative of Kilkenny yet. So if it was a hurling game, you'd be on, you'd be in like Flynn. But it's a quiz. So we're looking for a representative from Kilkenny. 1850 715 900. 1850 715 900. We're looking for somebody to step up to the plate and fly the flag for the Cats. 1850 715 900. Now, over the last few months, and it is a few months now, we've been catching up with guests that we've spoken to over the years and finding out how they're getting on during the COVID crisis. Today, we're joined by campaigner and Holocaust survivor Tommy Reichenthal. Tommy turns 85 this month and he's on the line. How are you doing, Tommy?
Great, thanks. How are you?
Good. What date is your birthday?
On the 26th. A secret. On the 26th of June.
You share a birthday with... I think you share a birthday with the Dalai Lama.
Really?
We'll confirm that. Not only do you share a birthday with him...
We should meet and celebrate together.
Yes, but he's 85 as well.
Really?
Yes, there you go.
That's coincidence.
Isn't that a big coincidence? Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank God all my problems that I was suffering are over. And during the coronavirus, of course, we are on a lockdown because, you know, at my age and my medical history, I have to be very careful that I don't get it. I would be finished.
So you've been following the guidelines and staying in. How has it affected you mentally, Tommy?
Oh, mentally, I had no problem. Amazingly, I'm quite busy with doing things. And that's the main thing, you know, to be occupied. Not only occupied physically, but mentally as well. Mm. And so I must say, I joined groups on the Zoom by invitation. I spoke in St. Joseph Primary Schools here in Terenu. We did a Zoom with the primary school children. And it was very successful, you know.
And what sort of questions?
I told them a little story and then... there was question and answer.
Yeah.
And I also was invited to Toastmasters. It's a sort of a history group of Tullamore. They had a sort of a meeting and they invited me as a guest again. I did tell them a little story and a question and answer.
Mm.
Also worked out very well. And of course, I had lots of, believe it or not, a lot of radio interviews.
Yes, because people want to know how you're getting through it because of your...
Well, some, how I'm getting on, and others, that they want a story of, you know, my story of surviving the Holocaust. So I spoke to the C-103 Cork, I spoke to the Limerick, then now I'm speaking to you. Next week I'm speaking to Near FM.
Yes, yes.
Next Tuesday.
So you're very busy. I'm interested to know, Tommy, what questions did the primary school children ask you?
Oh, the first of all, of course, they asked me from... they all read my book, so they would ask... a question, but of course they asked simple questions, if I had a friend in the camp, if I'm still in contact with the friend, how it was to be hungry, or how it was when I was cold. It's sort of question that a child would be sort of, he can just... you know, they all write me letters and things. So that the usual thing, how it was in my village, if people hated me, it's all kind of... I even had questions if I met Hitler, you know, which I always sort of find it very...
It's funny. It is funny. And you've taken this time to write a book that you've been meaning to write for some time. Tell us about that.
Well, I call it... I have a project because I didn't write a book. I'm actually translating it from a Slovak language, but... the significance of the book is that it was the only book that we had in the concentration camp. And I remember it very well when one of the mothers, of course, of this child that brought the book, this was the only book. So she used to read the book to us, and she did it very well. She imitated the different characters in it, and it was like a theater piece, you know.
Yeah.
I never forgot it. And
what's the name of the book?
This by translating it, but the whole project that we're thinking about is that. It entertained us in the concentration camp to sort of forget about the situation we actually were in. I mean, we were in a terrible, bad situation, and this was always sort of a time that you immersed yourself in this fairy story and you forgot for a while what really you were experiencing. Mm. And now I would love to do it for a charity, for children hospitals or people that children that are suffering with some illness or anything, and entertain them.
Yes, of course. And what was the name of the story?
About the suffering they're going in. And within the book, then I'm writing while we're listening to the story. I'm writing our own situation, so it's sort of integrated into the story.
Yeah.
And so even though it's a book for sort of children of 7, 8 year old, wishing that they will learn about the Holocaust as well,
in a
very gentle way. I mean, I'm not going to describe the horrors, but in a very gentle way to describe starvation or cold and living among corpses around, you know. So in a way that a child could understand, but it wouldn't frighten them.
Yes.
You know? I call it a project. I'm working on the project. And I never could do it because I was so busy, you know. I couldn't go to school, and I'm booked in weeks in advance, and
yes.
I never have time. But now I succeeded to do it, so I only have a little more. I'm doing it together with a teacher in the St. Joseph Primary, Anton Twin.
And how do you enjoy? How do you get your food? And have you been out to the shop, or what's the story?
Yeah, well, first of all, the spirit of the people is amazing. You know, I had so many offers. If I need anything, they will make a message. I must mention it, even though I don't know if she will be delighted. But the German ambassador, Daika Botzner, she actually rang me and said, "Tommy, you're all right, you manage," because I know her very well. "And if you need any messages, I will do it for you." I said, "It's very nice of you, but I wouldn't like the ambassador making messages for me." But we have a very nice neighbor. She's Emma and Michael Doyle. Every time they go shopping, they lift the phones up and they would ring to Joyce and say if she needs something, and she's delighted to do it, even though lately she said she's going back back to work, but because she lives doing it somewhere where there is a supermarket, it's no problem
to
for her,
because
she said, we don't need. But of course, my son lives across the road, and it's Veronica Brogan, his wife, and she does the main messages
for us.
So
okay.
We don't go out to shops or anything for the past, what is March, April, May, over 3 months.
It's 3 months, it's 3 months about now.
We now lately, since we, since they say we could start to go out, so we go for a walk every evening or morning, and it's very important. I broke my hip last year, so when I was sitting here and writing, I sometimes was writing 6 hours a day. So it sort of froze a little bit. And when I started to walk, I felt that, but now it's gone. It's simply good. You know, you have to physically be active as well, because otherwise, if you had any problem, this suddenly comes up and you suffer from it.
And Tommy, you and you know, you're all Jewish people yeah. could sort of argue that you were the victims of the biggest act of racism in the history of the world, as in the Holocaust.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're obviously reading what's going on in America and the death of George Floyd. What's your opinion on all that?
Well, first of all, I mean, I saw the event and it was just unbelievable. I mean, everybody's mentioning it. This was sort of an awakening mark, you know. But we are looking in America, and it's not only in America. Sadly, I mean, in England we had last year the trouble in London, and we saw London on fire, you know, that there was a lot of things. And regretfully, here in Ireland, there is racism. Many times I was told in schools that there are children, for some reason, I can't understand why they become racist. And even if they're parents are called in and told the son they should look at. They just said, we can't do anything about it. He doesn't listen, he or she doesn't listen. And it's sort of a racial bullying. I sometimes, when I'm making photographs with the children of the school, so children from Africa, they would come and I would ask them straight, do you experience any racism in the school, you know? And they say, not so much at school, but when we come into school and we're walking outside, children of six, 7 year old would shout out after them, you know, you break it and go home and all these type of things. So, we have, and I don't need to remind you that there were a politician made remarks, which it's very sad that we have this. It's not only America.
No. Sure, we've been listening to Liveline and people telling their stories.
There will be some movement in the direction by the government, some legislation that should help the situation. Mm. But basically, this has to come from education, from a very early age, that we are integrated, that we are equal, and the equality we can see with this coronavirus. It doesn't distinguish between white, black, brown. We all are victims. So it's very much we have to also change the mindset of ordinary people. Mm. Because, you know, if you're sitting and you sort of ask somebody a question among ourselves, you know, like if a black person would live beside you, or if you're renting a property and there is a white and black person, who you going to rent the property? This is all discrimination, and it is ingrained in us. Well, and we have to get it out. This is very, very wrong.
Yes, you're right, it is. And I was saying the other day to somebody that maybe this is a tipping point. I don't know if it is, but definitely there's conversation starting, which is healthy. And maybe with conversations and knowledge will come change. Tommy, mind yourself and Joyce, and thanks for taking our call today. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much for having me. And keep well, keep the distance.
Okay, see you, Tommy. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Aoife sent us an email yesterday to ray@rte.ie. Some time ago, she says, at the beginning of the lockdown, you had an Irishman on for an interview who was living in Brazil with his family. Apologies, I can't remember his name. He was desperately trying to get visas for his wife and child to get them back to Ireland, and the conditions were becoming serious in Brazil. I was wondering if you might consider doing a follow-up story. I would love to hear if he got home and if he has contact with people in Brazil at the moment, and unfortunately it seems to be going from bad to worse there. Appreciate your time. Aoife. Well, that man you're talking about, Aoife, is Pat Fitzgerald, and yes, he is home and he's in Abbeyfeel in County Limerick, and he's on the line. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm well, I'm very well. A lot better than the last time I talked to you.
Yeah, you sound
the end of April.
You sound less stressed.
Well, yeah, I think the last time I was talking to you, we were waiting for our passport for Liam, which was taking an eternity, or what felt like an eternity at the time. And I remember at the time things weren't too bad because there were still flights out of Rio at that stage. But things got a lot worse after that. The flights were cancelled out of Rio. I think I had to wait another 10 days after we spoke to you before the passport arrived.
Yeah.
And the day it arrived, which would have been 4 days before our planned flight on the 11th of May, I came down with a high temperature and a fever.
Right.
So, you know what I obviously thought I was after getting at that point. And so was in contact with my doctor every day over there for the 4 days. Luckily, it was only a one-off. Even though my temperature went up a little bit the night before we left, and I think I actually suffered what people would call a panic attack. I don't really know, because it's the only one I've ever had, but I had a full body shutdown, air went to me and everything. I think everything just came to a head. And it was terrible for me. It happened outside in the street. I went out for a bit of air. I had to come into my wife, who was there with the baby, packing bags furiously. And I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital the night before we left Brazil, and I thought it was all over after waiting 7 weeks to go. I thought this possibly wouldn't happen in the end, but following morning, woke up okay, spoke to the doctor, and he said, I think you're good to go. So we flew back to Ireland via from Rio to São Paulo, and that was also terrible. The plane was absolutely packed. Sat down, the fella behind us started coughing like mad, spoke to the air stewards, they spoke to him, he said there was nothing wrong with him, so it was really stressful. Then we got the KLM flight from São Paulo to Amsterdam. I thought, ah, oh, this will be grand now, there'll be rules and regulations with these lads, you know, social distancing and all of this. Again, it was absolutely packed on the KLM flight home. 11 hours of stress, but my baby was brilliant, Liam, and myself and Adrienne were so thankful for that. You know, he didn't really mind at all.
That's great. And were people wearing face masks, Pat?
People were wearing face masks. Obviously, some of the Brazilians on the flight would be maybe fans of Bolsonaro and stuff. They didn't want to wear the face masks. So I had a bit of an argument with the one beside me who was refusing to wear a face mask. And
so Bolsonaro is the Brazilian president who describes...
He's the Brazilian president. He's really covering himself in glory since I spoke to you last. He was terrible at the start of it, and he seems to be just getting worse and worse. I don't think they've got a health minister last 3 or 4 weeks. I think the second or third one left, and he's just yesterday or the day before, he's taken down the information website with the news on deaths and cases and stuff like that. So basically, he's gone one step further in the let's ignore this and it'll go away policy, which doesn't seem to work.
So Adriana is Brazilian, your wife?
Adriana's Brazilian, yeah.
Adriana. And is it her first time in Abbeyfeel?
No, she was in Ireland two years ago and loved Ireland. It was the time Limerick won the All Ireland. So she's back here, and we're living with my brother now. And like, I had a couple of dodgy weeks when I came back. I had to get a couple of COVID tests. Felt terrible when I came back. The temperature came back. Had to get some COVID tests. Two of them, luckily, they came back negative. I actually had some other minor viral infection, so I was sleeping in separate bedrooms from her and Liam. Very tough on her. Down on top of the fact that she had to leave her family. Mother and father bought into the risk zone and all that. But for the last week now, health has been good. And we've been living with we were in self-isolation in another house, but now we're living with my brother and his wife and three kids for the last week. And things have been great.
It must be a huge relief to be home.
Oh my God, it's, I mean, I go for a walk with the young Phil every morning. Adriana comes most mornings and we just suck in the fresh air of Ebbw Field in the countryside and thank everything. Lucky stars, God, Buddha, Allah, you name it. We're thanking it that we're here.
So it is.
It's really terrible. It's really terrible in Brazil at the moment. So we're just so delighted to be out of it. But everyone we know there is going through hell, and you know, without information and stuff like that, it even gets worse. So I really, my heart goes out to them.
Yeah. So it is Ebbw Field good for you?
Ebbw Field good at the end of the day, yeah, after maybe 2 months of the worst stress I've ever felt in my life, there's a good outcome for us at least, and we're just so thankful to everyone here in Ebbw Field. We've got a great welcome. Everyone's been just magic to us since we came home, and especially to my wife. You know?
And Pats, what's the plan now? Is it here for good, or...?
Well, the last time I spoke to you, I was kind of telling you how much I loved Rio and the plan would be to come back. But this plan is slowly changing, you know. So at the moment, I've just secured an apartment here and stuff. So we'll be moving into an apartment next Monday. And it looks like we're going to be home. I'd never say for good on anything, but it looks like indefinitely, you know.
Yeah.
Starting a new life back home due to COVID, which isn't the worst result in the world at all.
No.
We both love Ireland.
And what do you do for a living, Pat?
Well, I was teaching English in Brazil, which I'm qualified to do. I did a degree in English in Limerick. And so might look for something along the education lines, might retrain. I also worked a lot in a farmer life in construction and stuff like that. So I have a few options.
Okay.
Adriana's a marine biologist. So
okay.
If anyone's got any jobs in that line of business, they can give us a tinkle as well.
Right.
So, basically, we're just getting established at the moment and getting a place to stay. And thankfully, Liam and Adrienne are very happy here. And my family are great to Adrienne and really make her feel welcome.
Great.
So it's going great so far, thank God, after a real difficult time.
Great to hear it turned out well for you, Pat. And good to hear your voice less stressed than
thanks
the last
a million.
Time. Okay, talk to you soon, Pat.
Thanks, man.
See you now.
All the best, Ray. Thank you.
That's Pat Fitzgerald there in Ebbw Field. Anish Tosh and now in the Free Scales and a note to La Kieran O'Farda. Gramagud, Kieran, thank you very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Claire was on to say, Tommy spoke last winter at Grantstown Centre, County Wexford. It was an amazing evening with an audience of all ages. Tommy spoke for over 2 hours without taking a break, and you could hear a pin drop as we were transfixed and were hanging on his every word. Thanks, Tommy, says Claire. And somebody else says, on the dancing thing, I used to frequent the Stella in Mount Merion, and we were always told to leave room for the Holy Ghost while dancing. There you go. Now it is time for this. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's the All-Ireland Quiz. And today, Derry takes on Kilkenny. And flying the flag for Derry is Sean Feeney. Hello, Sean.
How are you, Ray?
Good to talk to you. You're from Derry, but you're not living in Derry.
No, I'm living in Trimmen, County Meath now.
Right, what brought you down there?
Down for the work, but it's a lovely old spot too.
Yeah. When's the last time you're up in Derry?
Mother's Day. I just got up before everything got locked down.
Who have you got there with you? Are you married?
I am married, Pauline, and I've got a wee girl. She'll be 4 now in July, Saoirse. But the rest of my family would all be up in Derry.
Okay. And would Saoirse miss her grandmother?
All right. The tears that's on the Skype call that they have. There's a lot of tears being had.
Oh, yeah. What do you work in, Sean?
I'm an engineer, work in refrigeration. So we've been very busy over the COVID-19.
Yeah. And what about your wife? Does she work or...?
Yeah, she works down in Dublin, but she's been able to work from home. So it hasn't been too bad for us, really. So she's able to look after the wee girl, but... She's pregnant at the moment, so she's a bit worried about how it's all going to go down for the pregnancy.
Yeah. And would both of you have security in your jobs now?
I hope so. I think so. Unless they hear me on this show and wonder why I'm not doing work.
Right. We won't delay you too long, Sean. I'll write you a letter if you get into trouble. Yeah. Have you ever represented Derry at anything?
No, nothing.
Nothing. Right. Okay, you're up against Rose Hetherington from Kilkenny. Say hello to Sean, Rose.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, Rose.
How are you, Rose?
Yeah, I'm good, Ray. Thank you. Yeah, all good.
I believe belated happy birthday is in order.
Oh, Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Right. Was it, go on.
We'll finish talking about that now.
All right. You don't want anybody to know that you celebrate your 40th birthday. Oh, sorry.
No, sorry. No, no. I didn't really, but anyway.
So you're...
You can send me a nice gift, right? Well, thanks,
yeah,
very
sure.
Much.
It's just a number. It's just a number, Rose. How did you celebrate?
I celebrated at home, obviously, with tea in the garden with good friends who popped over and in-laws who popped over and nice glass of wine in the evening with the husband. So
and have you plans to do something else on the other side of all this, whenever
I have. I'm going to celebrate next year.
Right, okay. So
we're skipping this year. It didn't happen. We're going straight forward to next year.
Yeah, and you have two children.
I do.
What ages are they?
They're 7 and 5, the lovely Ellen and Patrick.
Yeah, and you've been working through this. What do you do?
I'm a mental health nurse, so we've been working away, busy enough as well. So, kept going.
So news yesterday about the rise in mental health problems throughout the country because of COVID-19. Are you witnessing that?
Look, there's a lot of frustration out there, a lot of anxiety. You know, the people that we work with would kind of suffer from those issues anyway. Yeah. So this is obviously going to make things a little bit worse for them. But, you know, that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
To help and to support them through with that kind of thing. So we just keep going and keep doing what we're doing and try and move with the times and work around it.
What does the hubby do?
He works with farm machinery.
Right. So that hasn't stopped.
No, that hasn't stopped either. So we're both, like Sean there, working full time and juggling kids and things like that. So
yeah, so a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. So the homeschooling, how is that going for you?
We're flat out in the homeschool, right?
I don't believe you.
Well, you can't believe me.
It's just the way you were laughing when you were telling me, you know, we're flat out in the homeschooling.
I know, we do a little bit every day, so we're getting through it. Yeah, the books are nearly finished, which I see is a very good sign.
Yeah, a very good sign, very good sign. Have you ever represented Kilkenny at anything, Rose?
Only in the stands at Croke Park, but never anything official.
Okay, the county songs for you, Sean Feeney, representing Derry, is this one.
For deep inside was a burning pride for the town I love so well.
There you go, and Kilkenny.
On your sweet bank soil wander, where sun and moon shine, with you, lovely Molly, fair rose of Mooncoin.
You, lovely Molly, the rose of Mooncoin. There you go, Rose. Okay, good luck, Sean. Good luck, Rose. And I don't need to tell you, but I'm going to say it anyway. I need the answers as quick as possible. And no Googling, please. Let's get a bit of tension going. Right, Sean, your first question is on Kilkenny. Which Hollywood star who found fame in Eeyore and married a human rights lawyer had a great-great-grandfather born in County Kilkenny?
George Clooney.
Is the correct answer. For you, Rose, your question's on Derry. Derry is known as the Royal County. True or false?
False.
It's correct. It's known as the Oak Leaf County. Good start from you both. Sean, your second question is an audio question. Can you name this singer, please?
Rod Stewart.
Say again.
Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart is the correct answer. Baby Jane from 1983. That'll make people feel old. Yeah, 1983. And for you, Heather, name this singer.
Put on your red shoes and dance the blues.
So who's singing that song on the radio?
Oh, I'm going to say George Michael. It's wrong, though, is it?
It's wrong. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. It's wrong. David Bowie is the answer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But early days, Let's Dance, the name of the song. Sean, your third question. What two colours make up the flag of Greece?
Blue and white.
Is the correct answer. Well done. Rose, what colour is the cross on the flag of Finland?
The red. No.
No. It's blue. It's blue. Okay, you still have that three-pointer, so that can change everything, as we've seen in the past. Your fourth question, Sean, is an audio question. Can you name this movie, please?
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it? He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how?
You're funny.
Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
That's Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, yeah, that's Joe Pesci there. Very scary. And for you, Rose, good luck with this. We need the name of this film from 1984.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat.
Well...
Is it Karate Kid?
Yes, it is Karate Kid, yes.
Hi.
Yay, you're in
my
there.
My husband will be delighted I got that.
Right, okay. You're on two. Sean, you're on four. Now, you can go for the one-pointer and you'd be up to five. But if Rose goes for the three-pointer, she's up to five as well, which will bring us to a tie-break situation. However, Sean Feeney representing Derry, if you go for the three-pointer, it's a more difficult question, but if you get it right, Rose can't catch you. So the choice is yours.
You take a point.
You're going to take the point. Right, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, right. Interesting strategic choice. For 1 point, here's your question. English is the most spoken language in the world. True or false?
False.
Yes, is the correct answer. It's Mandarin Chinese. English is the most widespread spoken, if you know what I mean, language, but not the most spoken. Okay, so you're on five. Rose, you're on two. You have to go for the three-pointer to bring us to a tie-break situation.
Okay, yep.
Okay,
go on.
Good luck with this for 3 points. Which of these American cities has the biggest population? Atlanta, San Jose, Dallas, or Las Vegas? Atlanta, San Jose, Dallas, or Las Vegas?
Shot in the dark, Dallas.
You say Dallas. Atlanta, just over 500,000. Las Vegas, just over 600,000. San Jose, just over 1 million. And Dallas has 1,300,000. So Dallas is the correct answer.
Yay!
Which brings you up to five. And both of you are on five. So now we're into a tie-break situation. So this is the nearest to the correct answer. You couldn't possibly know the answer to this. So I'm going to ask you a question. Sean, I'll need your guess first. And Rose, then I need your guess second, as quickly as possible. Okay, good luck to you both. Whoever answers correctly brings themselves and their county through to the second round of the All-Ireland quiz. Here it is. Good luck, Sean. Good luck, Rose. According to Google Maps, how long would it take to cycle from Athlone in County Westmeath to the GPO in Dublin? I need the answer in hours and minutes. So Athlone to the GPO on a bike, according to Google Maps. Sean, what do you think?
10 hours.
You're saying 10 hours. Okay. Rose.
I'm gonna go with 6 hours 10 minutes.
You say 6 hours 10 minutes?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Why?
Because the correct answer is 6 hours 27 minutes. Yes, it's 126 kilometres. It'll take you 6 hours 27 minutes, according to Google Maps. Presuming you're not a sort of a Tour de France type person. So that means
no, I kind of calculated it because I was like, it takes me so long to drive and kind of in my head.
Okay.
Divide that by miles per hour.
Well, well done. You came back from the dead, so to speak, there. Sean, you were so good. You got all your questions right until the crucial one. We're going to send you up a Radar Show mug. So enjoy
That's
that. And mind yourself, and congratulations on the new arrival in advance. Okay, well done,
all
Sean.
Right,
see you now. Bye.
Well done, Rose.
Rose Hetherington, you are through, and so is Kilkenny, to the second round of the All-Ireland Quiz.
Yay, up Kilkenny.
Yay, well done. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And Antrim and Clare go head-to-head tomorrow in the All-Ireland Quiz. And if you want to be involved, ray@rte.ie if you're from either Antrim or Clare. And we could be talking to you tomorrow on the show.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Just a word about A Page for My Life. We are going through all the entries. By the end of the week, our judges will have the shortlisted entries. They will take a week to go through them. And we hope to announce the winners by the end of the month. So hopefully on Thursday, I think the 25th of June, we will have the winners of A Page From My Life. So thanks to everybody who entered via email and by post. Thank you. We got thousands and thousands of entries, and they're all very good and very personal. And thanks for sharing those big moments from your life with us. And I had a very interesting conversation, and indeed a very exciting conversation, with a man from a publishing company today. And it looks like, fingers crossed, that we're going to get about 100 or 120 of the entries into a book and published before Christmas. So that's all very exciting. So thanks again. And it's ongoing, just in case you're worried about that. Now, we're going to speak to two people, Alan and Leisha, about love during the lockdown after this. Now, what we're going through has affected everybody, and we've spoken to cocooners, we've spoken to business people. But what about the single people, I hear you say? Did you not say that? I thought I heard you say that. A new series on virtual dating is now available online on the RT Player. It's called Love in Isolation, where singles across the country have been set up on Zoom dates, and they get to know each other and are each set a challenge during the date, and then they're asked, do they want to see each other on the other side of the pandemic? Two of the people who feature on Love in Isolation, available now on the RT Player, are Alan Young, 22, from Kildare. How are you doing, Alan?
Ray, how are you? Good. I wish you were 22. I'm 24, but whatever.
You're 20. Is it 22 here? Do you want to?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, Ray, I thank you so much. Right. I look 22. But
yes,
you not do. Really.
And Leisha McGinn, I better be careful now. What age are you, Leisha?
Hi, Ray. I'm 23.
Yes, that's what it says here. It says 23.
Okay, good,
and you're from Cork.
I am indeed.
So both of you, in your madness, decided that you would go on national television, the RT Player's national television, and do a Zoom date. So, Alan, you did it with Neil.
Exactly. And it's more than madness, Ray. I think it's insanity. But here we are. it's a difficult time for everyone. There's a lot of people out doing important work, fighting the front lines, and there's a lot going on in the world. And the rest of us are just trying to figure out where we are and what we can do. And so the opportunity came up and I said, why not?
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun and it'll put an infectious smile on your face. So
yeah,
it was a bit of crack.
I enjoyed it. They're only 10 minutes long and it is a bit of crack, you're right. But on a serious note, being single during the lockdown can't be too much fun, Alan.
No, it's not. And look, there's a lot of people in a lot worse position than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm with family and stuff, so it's great. But it is hard, and especially for young people, or whatever age you are, like, you want to get out and you want to live your life. And we don't meet strangers anymore, Ray. You know, we're Irish people. We love having the chat. We love meeting someone in the grocery shop. And that's kind of been soaked out of our culture with all this going on. So it was nice to take a break and take a break from swiping left or right and go on and meet a stranger and have the chat.
Yeah. What I found particularly funny was that both you and your date, Neil, put on aftershave for a Zoom date.
It's funny. You have like these inbuilt routines in what you do. And so like, I'm sure like yourself, you put on aftershave when you're going out, whatever. But I think it's about you as well. When you have it on, you feel better about yourself.
Yes, of course you do. Leisha, you did the hair and did your own makeup, and which you're very good at because you're a makeup artist.
Yeah.
So you, Rian was your date and he is originally from Wicklow, but he's now in Berlin. So he seemed to, there was a bit of a spark between the two, I thought.
Yeah, Rian was great. I thought we got along really, really well. It was just the Berlin factor was...
Don't give away the ending.
One.
Spoiler alert.
Oh. Whoops, sorry.
They know now. They know now.
I thought we got along really, really well. I thought we were, you know, we were quite similar. I felt it flowed really well between us.
Yeah, it did. And you laughed, and you didn't...
Yeah, we had a great laugh.
Well, the bit that I saw, you didn't introduce him to your stuffed giraffe, Philip.
No, that's more of a date to...
Oh, is it? Oh, that's a
date.
Right,
yeah,
I understand that. Because you don't want to introduce Philip, the stuffed giraffe, to just anybody. You need to...
No, no.
Yes, yeah.
It's my special people that
gets me. Yeah. And what was your challenge? What did you have to do on the date?
We had to recite a small script from Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
Which was, fun. I mean, personally, I would have preferred that than Alan's challenge. I think I wouldn't have been able to have coped if I had to be dancing.
Yes.
I agree.
So, Alan...
mortifying watching it back.
Yeah, see,
sorry.
But, Alan, you're on TikTok doing, you know, drag stuff. I thought you would have relished the opportunity to...
Alan's right.
I'm telling you. It's all about filters and lighting. But it's, are you on TikTok, right? It's a bit of crap.
I'm not on, my 13-year-old daughter's on TikTok. I'm not on TikTok, no.
It's what the world needs. It's a bit of fun. And, you know, I was saying it only yesterday. You get on there and you have a bit of fun and you can get your content out instantly.
Yeah.
And it just puts a smile on your face. Like, it just makes you happy. And that doesn't happen everywhere else. You know, we can be doom and gloom. But TikTok, if you're not on it, I think everyone, it's the best medicine.
And we were talking to Hannah at the top of the show. And Hannah is, she has 37,000 tadpoles at the moment. And she gives a little message, a little news update on her tadpoles every day on TikTok. And she's over 500,000. Followers. Do you do lip sync, Alan? Is that what you do? You lip sync on...
I do a bit of everything. I do a bit of comedy. I do a bit of singing, right. A bit of lip syncing. You know, there's no limits, really.
Right, okay. And I must go on TikTok now and see what you have to offer. Leisha, as I said, you're a makeup artist, so that's stopped, obviously, for the moment. Any idea when you're going to be back to work?
No idea. And it's, you know, it's so hard. I think anyone that works in a creative field, especially if you work very physically close with someone, then, you know, I've absolutely no idea. I hope it'll be soon. It's, you know, I think this has hit anyone in a creative environment really, really hard.
But and also anybody who's single, because it's a long time before you'd probably hook up with somebody that you didn't know. Which is obviously a first night, and you know, you know, if you're going to, there has to, a relationship has to start somewhere. So that's a challenge. What do you think, Leisha?
Yeah, I think. I think the way the world was moving was that a lot of people were meeting online and through apps anyway. So I think if that was the platform that you usually would use to meet someone. Yeah. This maybe isn't the worst thing for you, but if you're someone that would rather meet someone organically at a bar or something, then this has made it near impossible, I feel.
Yeah. What do you think, Alan?
I don't know. Like, it's hard to say whether online Zoom call dating will become a thing, because obviously the apps are out there, but it is very different to meeting someone in real life, and you don't really pick up on the mannerisms or who they are as a person through the screen, which is funny, but... Like, needs must, right?
Yeah, needs must is right. So at the end of each episode of Love in Isolation, they have one person up and then they try to connect to the other person, as in on Zoom. And if the person doesn't connect, then that's a no. What a cruel way of finding out that the person doesn't want to date you. But there you go. That's love in
isolation. Usually they hide in the bathroom and you never see them again.
Yeah, I'm going to the loo. See you. That's it, yeah. Right, Love in Isolation. It's on the RT player. Alan is in episode 3 and Leisha is in episode 5. If you want to see how they get on their Zoom dates, go to the RT player. Alan, nice talking to you. Leisha, nice talking to you too. Mind yourselves. Okay, see you now. Bye, bye. That's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.